There's no new music tax due today, no 1040 easy listening, no alternative new wave minimum tax, no dependents or independent labels to claim, just the sophomore effort of a young Brit pop band, the return of Mimi, and a former Pixie, and some Texas-based angels. Our friend Andy Langer is a music critic for Esquire magazine. Hi, Andy.
Hello.
So first up, music school students turn Brighton rock band The Kooks. Their new album, Conk, was named after The Kinks founder Ray Davies' groovy studio. They like the K's. So they got their name from a Bowie song. So I take it The Kooks are pretty proud of their British heritage.
Yeah, The Kooks would like you to think they're cooler than they are, and they've been blamed or been accused of being indie imposters for a while now, but they keep selling records. They've sold 2 million worldwide of the first one, 100,000 in the U.S., which isn't bad in terms of a American breakthrough, and they write catchy pop songs, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Well, let's listen to the first single from Conk. It's called Always Where I Need to Be.
Now I see her again. I asked to be a hummingbird.
Okay, so these guys made tons of best of lists a couple years ago with their debut. Is the follow-up as good?
Yeah, the follow-up, you know, it's the same formula. These, you know, you heard the doo-doo-doo-doos, and it's a lot of that, which just makes them good, jangly, maybe not substantive, but sort of muscular pop songs. And they're going to sound really good on the radio. They're going to sound good this summer on the radio, and, you know, Europe's all about the big summer festivals, and this will set them up perfectly for those. And it also, you know, the good news here is that there's, when you pile on four or five songs that may wind up radio anthems, then somebody who buys the full record is going to get their money's worth, and they're going to sell a bunch of these as full records, which in this day and age we know to be a rarity.
Now, the lady who just had her 18th number one single, Mariah Carey, deposing Elvis as the artist with the second most number one hits, Beatles, still out front with number 20. She's back with E equals MC squared. Let's take a listen to some of the fine lyrical stylings of Ms. Carey.
You've been waiting for it, I'm waiting too. In my imagination, I'll be all up on you. I know you got that fever for me, 102. And boy, I know I feel the same, my temperature's through the roof. If it's a camera up in here, then it's only you put me when I do. If it's a camera up in here, then I best not catch this flick on YouTube.
All right, so if it's a camera up in here, then I best not catch this flick on YouTube. Is it anything?
Trying to protect her privacy.
Is there a Mariah tape out there we don't know about?
There may be, but, you know, if you had Mariah's lifestyle, you'd want to protect that privacy, whatever's left of it, too, I guess.
I don't mean to be cynical, but when I hear Mariah, when I see Mariah, I see dollar signs and I see records being broken. Her last record sold something like 10 million copies. What do you think about this one?
Well, I mean, that is clearly the goal. I mean, you know, if you want to look at statistically, like you said, the Beatles are next to knock off the list, and she can do that with four singles from this record. And that's why you hire, you know, Jermaine Dupri and Scott Storch and Swiss Beats and Danger and Stargate, all these people behind every other song that's, you know, been on the charts in however long. And, you know, this is a woman they wrote off for dead 6 years ago, and she's definitely back, whether... You know, whether this kind of really manufactured, really straightforward, going for the fences kind of pop is your kind of thing is something you already know which side of the Mariah fence you're on here.
Right. You bring up an interesting point. Jermaine Dupri, Swiss Beats, Nate Dangerhill, Scott Storch, Will.i.am, Rodney Jenkins. I mean, could they put another producer on this record? Which is odd to me because she actually has a very strong instrument in her voice.
Yeah, and at the end of the record, they just strip it away, and it's just her and a piano, and it actually works, and she's not doing a lot of the acrobatics, the vocal gymnastics that, you know, we see on American Idol thanks to her. She's not doing as much of that on this record, although the album opens with a big shriek that's, you know, which is almost as annoying as, I don't know, people who call her Mimi or people that are using this title to say E equals MC squared equals pop genius. Yeah, there's a lot of that going around.
Okay, that needs to stop.
Yeah.
Let's move on to Black Francis and his EP, Seven Fingers. I'm assuming that's what it means because it just says S-V-N-F-N-G-R-S. Now, when the Pixies broke up 15 years ago, Black Francis started recording as Frank Black. Now he's back to the old moniker. Wondering if this is a nostalgic record or does this move forward?
This does both. I mean, this moves forward in that it's moving forward within the Pixies framework, meaning this is a rock record that if it had the Pixies name on it, you'd say, okay, that's a Pixies record. And that's why he's using Black Francis instead of Frank Black. He's done this both for the Blue Finger record, which was last year, and then this EP, or mini-album, as he likes to call it. It's seven songs recorded in one day, and they sent him to the studio to make a B-side for the last record, and he ended up coming out with seven songs.
Let's hear a track. It's called I Sent Away from the Seven Singers EP by Black Francis.
I was alone. I killed my clone. I learned to play the xylophone. But I was bored with modern chords. And so today, I sent away. I sent away. I sent away. I sent away. I got a knock. I got a box.
Is this for fans or is this for a larger audience?
Frank Black doesn't, or Black Francis doesn't, he doesn't have hopes of a larger audience. On the, you know, this is sort of his Zappa Beefheart phase, and, you know, that song, you know, it's just quirky rhyming for rhyming's sake. On the other hand, these are, you know, big rock songs, and there's a, you know, seven of them in a row. There's one that's kind of Neil Young-ish. You know, theoretically, it could reach to some people that haven't checked out Frank Black in a while, but this is for fans of the Pixies, and that's good enough.
We're speaking with Andy Langer, music critic from Esquire magazine, who has the great fortune to live in Austin, Texas, where you can find good music on every street corner and almost every coffee house. A band called the Black Angels from your neck of the woods. Tell us about them.
Well, their motto is tune in, turn on, tune in, and drone out. And they use projectors, you know, psychedelic projectors behind them when they play, and they're a really trippy, psychedelic, sort of, you know, 60s throwback rock band who are loud and hypnotic.
All right, Andy Langer, he's helping us out, understanding some new music this week. We're going to go out on a little bit of the Black Angels. It's called Doves. Hey, Andy, thanks a lot.
You got it.
Coming up next on the show, a new documentary follows an acre of corn in Iowa. It's called King Corn, How Corn Shapes Life in the United States. That'll be next on the Bryant Park Project from NPR News.